Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
John Downing with us on the line from the Irish Independent. John, very good morning to you.
Hello, Jerry. How are you going?
Very good, very good. Well, John, we'll start with, I suppose, before we get to the housing plan unveiled with all bells and whistles yesterday, Catherine Connolly's inauguration kind of dominated the early part of the week politically, and it was fairly political, a pretty full-on politically motivated speech that talked about prevailing narratives being upended. In other words, the people are with me, not with you, Micheál and Simon. What did you make of it?
Well, it was an interesting day. It was... I suppose it took Michael D. Higgins anything up to 2 years to have his first political standoff with government. It took her about 2 minutes. It was a political speech. So she may be starting as she means to continue on. It's what people want, a president who says it as she sees it. But you know what, in the end, it's just terms and conditions of engagement. It won't change daily life in Ireland to have somebody who's more voluble than usual in Áras an Uachtaráin. But it is interesting, and it will be another element of push pull in Irish politics.
Yeah, certainly will. Internationally, will it matter though, John? Like we have this whole Israel Palestinian thing still going on. We had U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham not too happy with the FAI's move to try and ban Israel from international football and promising retribution in Ireland. Like, is that all just hot air from the United States, or does that sort of thing matter? This feeling that Ireland is overstepping the mark and we're no longer going to help out those countries who are against our interests internationally from these sort of, you know, whether it's the Eurovision or whether it's international soccer, these kind of high moral ground stands.
It is, it's significant, and it's always interesting that Israel targets Ireland more than the other countries. I mean, there has been noise from Spain, from South
from
Africa,
Norway.
from Norway. But they go for Ireland because they think they can. They have leverage in the States as a result. So, yeah, that could be... difficult for Ireland as a result, but I suppose it's the price of membership of the human race. Really, that the idea that sport it should not be party political, but sport has always been political. We had it with the Springboks, South Africa, Olympics in Russia and so on and so forth. It can never exist in a vacuum. So yeah, what are we going to do? We just have to keep going.
Indeed. John, final point on Catherine Connolly. She spoke a lot in Irish in the speech. She's a fluent Irish speaker, obviously. She's putting Irish front and centre, making it the language of the Áras. Do you think that there's a new Irish plan that's been launched for teaching Irish in the last few days by the government? Will that work, do you think, to get people involved, get more people speaking it, or does it risk alienating a certain section of the population?
Well, to some degree, the Irish language can be divisive. I use the Irish language always. I'm very encouraged by her stance. It doesn't have to be divisive, and it shouldn't be, because she's not trying to foist anything on anyone. She just wants to speak the language. It may be the most significant thing in her presidential term.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see.
Time will tell on that one, that's for sure. John, we'll move on to the housing plan or the housing crisis, the ever-present, long-lasting housing crisis. This is the fourth housing plan in 12 years. The government are trying to say, look, this isn't, you know, starting from scratch. We've done a lot. How is it being received in Leinster House? How is it being received by the backbenchers? This is James Brown's first real stab at changing the narrative and changing the reality of the housing crisis.
Well, The government, I mean, they had people primed to go out and try and defend it and sell it. The opposition scathing about it, as you say, four plans, 12 years, still a huge lack of houses. Things like they've taken targets out of it, the opposition having a field day about that. But targets... I mean, targets in any situation they're a messy kind of carry on, and promising that you're going to produce X number of houses and then only producing X minus minus. I mean, it's just guff. So there is a huge weariness among the backbenchers, among TDs and senators who hope to become TDs and so on. They are weary. They know this is about the politics of delivery. People need houses. They need more houses, and they need a very radical move towards social and affordable housing, you know, and much, much more state involvement in that to make it happen.
Is it radical though, John? How much of a realization amongst the government is this really, if you look at the timelines, and enough, depending on if this government goes the full length of time, there's four more years left. But with housing, it takes a long time to build a house. How much of a realization is it that this is effectively kind of the last bullet in the gun for the government to try and turn this ship around ahead of the next election?
Well, I think you have summed it up. They have to produce houses, and they in quantities, and every year from now on. We're right on the 12 months since the last election. We've had a government since January of this year, and you know, things have actually slowed on their watch, and it's clear that they oversold going into the election 12 months ago. They oversold what had been achieved. So as you say, it is last chance saloon for them. What are they going to do? I mean, it is down to delivery. And if that does not happen, well, they all know they're toast.
Yeah, that's the reality of it. John, just on the optics of it and the politics of it, there's a developing story over the last, you know, I suppose, 72 hours with regards to Sinn Féin, and how much has this curbed their attempts to try and make hay and criticise the government's plan? They're fighting a bit of a rearguard action themselves in relation to an emerging story about a Sinn Féin activist who was a terror suspect in a far-right plot to attack a mosque. He previously admitted selling cocaine, according to the Irish Independent this morning. The party turned down his formal membership application. However, he was a guest of a Sinn Féin politician in the Dáil, has campaigned for the party and attended party events. They suspended the other person, a female, who was a member of the party on Saturday when she failed to inform them that her house had been subject of a raid. These people are being held under Section 30 of the Defences Against the State Act. So this is a difficult moment for them in terms of what they would have hoped would have been a clear run at targeting the housing plan this week.
Yes, absolutely. It is a very difficult time for Sinn Féin, and very embarrassing for them. I suppose, in fairness, they will argue that they took when they found this
decisive
out,
decisive action. Yeah,
that they took decisive, definitive action very swiftly. But most unfortunate, and not at all a happy time. I will say that. The difficulty about political parties is that they're a kind of catch-all. And I remember just working behind the scenes, you know, you kind of go to the annual conference and you look and you kind of go, you see some people there and you're going, oh, holy God, what is that person doing here? Well, it's not that easy to be selective about who joins a political party. But yes, a difficult corner for Sinn Féin. And, you know, and not a happy time. And I think you'll notice that the other parties will be careful about when and how they attack Sinn Féin on this issue, because they know this is the type of thing that could come to their own door handy enough too, you know?
Yeah, very quickly indeed. Okay, John, stay with us on the line. We're going to talk more on Call from the Dáil and the Dáil Week after we take these.
Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Yeah, keep your views, comments and opinions coming into us on the programme. John, the Fianna Fáil soap opera continues. Micheál Martin back in town this week to face a Fianna Fáil parliamentary party meeting. There had been some rumblings, there'd be some sort of a challenge, but he seems to have fought them off successfully enough and has kicked the can down the road on this review, which was promised by the 12th of November. Now it's going to go into next month. What's the word about what happens next here?
Well, Micheál Martin, my own view, a very personal view, is that Micheál Martin would like to see this review out there, would like to deal with it, but it's not in his gift. It's an independent process, and the thing that's mainly delaying it, we're told, is that so many people want to talk to the people running this review, so it's going to drag. Micheál Martin, there was never going to be an immediate sort of palace coup against him. This one is a slow burner. It will drag into next year. But I think the conspirators are out there. We had Billy Kelleher, who didn't get on the ticket. We had him making a landmark speech in Ennis the other day, talking about the population time bomb within Fianna Fáil, that they're getting old, that they're getting scarce, that they're running out of options. I suppose you could say that about a lot of political parties, or indeed various social organisations, because of course a lot of people used to join political parties as a social outlet and so on, and there are far more options these days beyond that. But Billy Kelleher is right. The party is in difficulty. This is not going to just go away for Micheál Martin. There is a feeling that he's timed out, and there will be a slow burning kind of move against his leadership. And when we'll see evidence of that, I think it will go into the new year. But yes, and I mean, these sort of things, it's the old Shakespeare line from Macbeth, where it says, if it were to be done, 'twere better done quickly. And that is true. But politics isn't like that. So this one is going to drag on.
Okay. All right, John, we're looking at, and amazingly enough, 40 years since the signing of the Anglo-Irish Agreement between Gareth Fitzgerald and Margaret Thatcher. Dick Spring, former Labour Party TD here, of course, former leader of the party, former Taoiseach in several governments. He was speaking in Belfast as part of a series of events over this weekend and last week and into next week again, about that time and the significance of it on the roadmap to peace in Northern Ireland. And he said a couple of interesting things, but he says effectively, walk, don't run on a united Ireland. Is he right?
Yes, he is absolutely right. And I think it was lovely to see him back, you know, in the limelight again. I think when the history of Ireland in the 20th century comes to be written, Dick Spring will loom very large in it as somebody who contributed hugely to change in this country, and indeed not least on the whole Anglo-Irish Agreement, November 1985. It is it was a very important milestone towards change on this island and in the north, especially. It followed, I mean, the years after followed some of the most horrible years of the Troubles.
Yeah.
Followed.
Yeah.
So, but when Dick Spring speaks, and I certainly listen, and he is 1,000% right when he talks about walking, not running, towards a united Ireland. I wonder, I mean, the Sinn Féin are very pushy about this, saying, bring it on, let's have a border poll as soon as we possibly can. I think, I was in Belfast week before last. I was at the Oireachtas sauna, and I walked the centre of Belfast. Hadn't been there in a while. We're going to have, it was a successful event and well received, 15,000 Irish speakers descended on Belfast, and there was hardly a cross word, much less anything else. That's encouraging. In the summer, we're going to have, in August, we're going to have Fláchiúil na hÉireann in Belfast. It'll be very interesting to see how that one goes, because there'll be people yeah. on the streets playing Irish music and so on. But it does strike me that anytime, the sooner we have a border poll, the sooner it will be lost. And I wonder yeah. even, would it pass in this jurisdiction, in the 26 counties? Because the net question is going to be not, do you want to see a united Ireland? The net question is going to be, are you prepared to pay more tax to fund a united Ireland? And that yeah. is
and,
going
and
to
on
be...
And on the other side, John, are you prepared to give up symbols and cultural significant issues for
yes.
whatever the new Ireland will look like?
Yeah,
like I was doing a bit of research into this during the week, and I looked at a BBC report from John Simpson in 1985 talking about the signing of it, and part of the preamble to that was an older woman in Hillsborough putting out her Union Jack flag in her opposition to what was being agreed. I mean, the flags haven't gone away, they're still there. And is that the sort of work that Dick Spring was talking about? He said there's a huge level of work yet to be done to get communities, and particularly the harder elements on either side, to agree to the seismic cultural changes, anthems, flags, symbols, and all of those sort of things, even aside from the economic reality.
Yes, absolutely. And you find a situation where people hadn't, in the centenary of commemorations, people in this jurisdiction couldn't live with a commemoration of the RIC and the Dublin, yeah. the DMP.
The Dublin Metropolitan Police, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that raises questions. And we have a Fianna Fáil TD in Clare who tells us that his ability to, his role in upending that was a matter of great pride for him. Well, all right, great stuff. But don't be telling us in the next breath about a united Ireland.
Yeah. And Emma Little Pengelly not turning up at the inauguration of Catherine Connolly. There was a UUP politician there, but there still are those issues, aren't there?
There are, and they're being led by the far right, the extreme element in the orange unionist tradition. The DUP, Emma Little Pengelly, is afraid to be photographed beside a southern politician because she knows that the TUV, the rivals on the mad end of that, the true unionist voice, as they call themselves, would be making hay with that. So it does yeah. remind us again and again how we have exactly what Dick Spring is saying, the amount of road we still have to make. So I would say
yeah.
time is the great, is the most important tool in the United Ireland kit box right now. Leave it go, be easy, and let things like Oireachtas na sauna and Fláchiúil na hÉireann and things like that happen in Belfast.
Yeah, and do their work. Okay, listen, John, we'll leave it there. Thanks a million for talking to us again this week. That's John Downing on Calls from the Dáil. If you have a view on what he had to say, get in touch with us on the programme this morning. We want to hear from you. Lots more on the way on Kerry Today.